I can't remember more undrivable conditions than right now. It's not like there's a foot and a half of snow on the ground yet, but you can't see anything.
Are people listening to us? Because we get a lot of car listeners. I don't know if there's a lot of cars on the road right now.
No, there aren't.
Unbelievable.
There are not. I just spent the last 45 minutes, instead of prepping for the show, pushing people out of the Cumberland Farms parking lot down the street here.
Let's rephrase that. Pushing yourself out of the parking lot.
And then eventually we all grouped around and they took care of me.
Yes.
Sending me out onto Route 15.
You know what? You have to be a loser to get your car stuck in the parking lot. Seriously.
Well, it'd be nice if they, get a plow in there.
First time driving in snow, big boy. First time?
Really?
You a flatlander? What's wrong? I don't know. How do you get yourself? I drove here. I didn't get myself stuck in the snow.
No, I didn't either until I got to an unplowed parking lot.
And by the way, thank you to the lovely officer.
I had an officer help pull me out of the snow, and we teamed up on a couple of other cars. It was wonderful.
No. That's not what you told me. You told me a very attractive officer.
You're going to make up some story here.
She's not attractive?
No, of course she was.
Okay, then. So I'm not making it up, am I?
She offered strategy, which was neat.
Why are you not giving her due? I mean, attractive police officer.
No, thank you to her and to the five others that helped dig us out. Yeah, it was tricky. I just went down there to get Brady a Mountain Dew.
I know,
Brady. Code Red.
Right. That's the only reason you went down there.
I figured it's literally a quarter of a mile
down
the street.
Code Red.
And 40 minutes later, I come back with this Code Red. Did I get the right soda for you?
You did get the right soda, but don't pin it off on me. You went there to get yourself food, and you said, does anybody else want anything? And I said, sure, a Red Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I got gas station goulash, and I just finished it.
And it looked good, though. It actually looked good. I don't know. I should have went with you.
Seriously, people, I mean, it seems kind of trite at this point to just say, if you don't have to drive, don't. But, I mean,
I feel bad I was supposed to meet that bowling guy today.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was supposed to meet him at, 3 o'clock to kick his ass in bowling.
So. Yeah, that's how it was
going
to sound.
Yeah, I was going down like that big time, Rich.
So
it was going down.
We're doing it again soon, and I know we're going to be there on April 3rd, too, so at least we could put it off till then, till your destruction.
For a 300. I was practicing all last night.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. But really, folks, be careful out there, man. It's hideous conditions out there.
You know, you sound like you've never, seriously, like you've never driven in
right.
snow.
No, I've never, I can't remember in recent years seeing it as tough as it is today, because they're trying to plow anything and it doesn't matter because the wind is just blasting it right back out, and we're supposed to get another 7, 8, 9, 10 inches overnight, so this is going to be kind of an ugly period here.
I don't even think the accumulation is there. How much is out there right now in terms of accumulation?
I'd say 6 or 7 inches probably.
Oh, really?
The parking lot that hadn't been shoveled, yes.
Well, we're right on the border between the 12 to 18 and 18 to 24 range.
Yeah, I guess where I live. In the foothills.
Do you know you're supposed to turn your steering wheel back and forth to get out of a parking spot? Or did you not know
that? No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that.
Because it was my first snowstorm today. This is amazing. All I could think about through all of this, just crawling in from Jericho today and watching people go off the road and in these conditions, was the fact that on Sunday afternoon I will be sitting on a grassy berm in Scottsdale, Arizona, with a cold beer in my hand and 80-degree weather watching a bunch of minor leaguers play baseball.
You know what I love about this is that our boss was so concerned, and I'm being honest, the boss was so concerned, he's like, I've got to get people hotel rooms.
Yeah.
So he says, Rich, we're going to get you a hotel room right up the street.
How about that?
And we're going to party like rock stars at that place tonight.
That's now a possibility.
In Rich's room. What hotel are you staying at?
We're staying at the Hampton Inn.
You weren't supposed to say that on the air, but you're staying at the Hampton Inn now. So party in Rich's room. You're going to be there like everybody except me, because they didn't get me a room. They're like, the hell with you. You just drive in the snow and fend for yourself is what
they're
going to do.
Just an aside here.
Yeah.
What time do you need to be at work here tomorrow?
I don't know. I 3 o'clock, I guess.
Right. 3 p.m.
Yes. Why? What time do you have to be
in? Here at 4:30 in the morning.
Big deal. Gosh, you're making a big deal about this. So they put you guys up, let's give you nice fancy hotel rooms at the Ritz-Carlton and stuff like that. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Is there a hotel bar?
There is.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. I've been there many times.
Maybe you can comp that on the boss's credit card.
Oh,
I can assure you I will be the only one there on a night like this. Although, maybe not. Maybe people are just heading down the interstate and saying, the hell with it. I'm going to pull off here and stop at this hotel and have fun.
I got two words for you. Room service. Room service.
Yeah, the boss's credit card is somewhere in this
building. Oh, double everything. I'll take the double shrimp appetizer, the double steak entree, and you know what? Make two baked potatoes. I'm going to eat one later on at work tomorrow, so just get that all out of here. Oh, my goodness. All right, lots to get to. Be careful out there. It's very bad. Nobody's at work except for us because we're doctors, and we had to be here today, so it's an emergency.
So this damn live radio thing.
If you're out there and you want to give us a call and you're not driving, that's fine, too. 802-655-6672, 655-6672. But we want you to be safe out there. We did cancel the remote. We were supposed to do with the City Sports Grill. Unfortunately, we just didn't want to bring everybody out there in this type of weather.
Not even the guy who's going to beat you by 140 pins.
He might even be there, though.
He might be.
I guarantee you he's there.
No, unless he could, you know what? We have to come up with some type of odds. You know what I mean? Not odds.
Or here we go. A handicap.
Oh, look
See,
at
now
you.
He's changing
look at
the
you.
Rules.
I at least give me 30 pins or something
here we go. All of a sudden, you see, you're getting a little nervous.
No, I'm not nervous. I plan on bowling 300. I have to start
over
with
three strings.
No, I got to start with a strike. If I don't start with a strike, then I'm in big trouble there. Then it all starts going downhill. All right, we got a lot to get to today. Let me start with Malcolm Butler, because I guess Malcolm Butler and the Saints trying to work out a deal. The Texans also interested. Real quick question. How come it's just those two teams interested in a guy that's making, how much is he making this year, $4 million or something like that?
Yeah, well, just under.
If he plays for the Patriots, he'll make $4 million.
He'll make a lot more than
if he's going to get traded somewhere else.
Then he'll have to make a lot more for that first year. They don't have to hold him to that first 4 year, and then it's an extension after that.
They would be signing him to a very long-term deal.
Only the Patriots can make him play for that first $4 million, and then after that, they have to give him the big money.
They hold the cards, in fact, they cannot trade him, I believe, until he signs that tender.
Right. He cannot be traded. There's two things that can happen. One, he can sign the $4 million tender, and when that happens, he's under contract by the Patriots. At that point, then they can trade him. As long as he does not sign that tender, he's still technically a restricted free agent, and other teams can try to sign him. But if they sign him away from the Patriots, they will owe the Patriots their first-round pick.
If teams didn't have to give up a first-round pick, but you still have to give up the big money for him, you think to be how many more teams want to sign a kid like that that's 23 years old? Because it seems like only the Patriots. What did I say, 23?
I wasn't going to correct you, but that's way off.
No, that's okay. But it just seems like that nobody wants this kid. He's young. He has an upside. And only the Patriots are the ones that don't have to pay the penalty, right? Everybody else has to pay the big money. Patriots get cheap this year. And they don't have to go up and give up a couple first-round picks for him, so why would they keep him?
And isn't it interesting that two of the most sought-after guys right now in this period here, along with Hightower, and Malcolm Butler, people seem to be staying away from both of them. Any team would crave to have either of those two guys.
It's not the money,
it's
the picks.
Is it because it's the Patriots?
No, it's the picks. It's the picks.
The Patriots right now are in what they think is a win-win situation. You're either going to get Butler to play for you next year at the very reasonable price of $4 million, and you're going to pair Butler with Gilmore and have one of the best secondaries in the league. Or a team is going to sign him away from you, and you're going to at least get a first-round pick for Butler, or you're going to trade him and get multiple assets. So the Patriots it's really, what do you value more if you're the Patriots? Do you value the player, Butler, for 1 year at low money, or do you value a potential first-round pick coming back to
you? I don't understand something. The Texans, all right, let's just say the Texans want him for argument's sake. I want to go past the Saints for a second. So if the Texans want him, they're willing to give up a first-round pick for him, right?
That would be if they wanted to sign him away.
Okay, if they want to sign him away, but yet they don't want to give up a third, fourth, or fifth-round pick for Tony Romo? Am I understanding this right? They're going to draw the line in the sand and say, when he becomes a free agent, then give us a call. But for Butler, you're willing to give him a new contract long-term and give up a first-round pick for this guy.
Well, the Texans are working on a trade, potentially, in which they give up later picks. But your point is well taken still.
The difference
is between 27 and 37 years old, and the difference is between Texans think they have Tom Savage, who they think at least could do the job if they have to.
Yeah, but the difference also is cornerback and quarterback.
Right,
and
there's
nothing more enormous than having a quarterback at
this
point.
Yeah, you would think that they and you don't even have to give up a first-round pick. Just say, you know what, just make Jerry feel like he got the better of you and give him a third. I don't know how valuable a third or a fourth or a fifth-round pick. It doesn't seem like you're working out with the first round. Give him something. Get Tony Romo, because I don't believe with the quarterbacks you got right now.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what New Orleans has to offer, because the Patriots have been giving up their draft picks. No question about it. They gave their first pick and, what was it, their fourth rounder?
They gave their first and third.
Third rounder to the Saints for Brandon Cooks. So who knows? Those guys may come back in some sort of deal for Butler. But I'll tell you, as a Pats fan, I don't want anyone else getting Malcolm Butler, especially at the rate they're going to pay him next year if he signs it.
Well, as of right now, the Patriots don't have a first or a second round pick because of deals that they've made. They only have a pick in the third, and then a couple. They've got a couple later draft rounds where they've got multiple picks, but they don't have a first or a second.
Which is unheard of for Belichick.
Even take it even a step further. You're going to tell me a team will give the Patriots a first round pick to get Butler, but they won't give him a couple first round picks to get a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Texans say, okay, we don't want to give up a couple first round picks for Garoppolo. Then damn, then sign Tony Romo for a third or fourth round pick if you don't want to give up all those picks. I mean, if they're so stinking valuable. But again, you're going to give up a first round pick for Butler, but you're not going to give up consecutive first round picks. You could probably get away with a first and a second for Garoppolo. You're not going to do that? You don't think that's wrong?
If I'm Cleveland in particular, and a lot of this Garoppolo talk centers around Cleveland, if I was Cleveland in particular, since I have two first round picks this year and so many picks over the next 2 years, I would give up the 12th pick this year and next year's first. I would not give up the number one overall pick this year and next year's
first. This is the year to give it up.
But keep in mind, you say you wouldn't give up this year's number one pick. You may be very well giving up next year's number one pick with this. We don't know what Cleveland's going to be next year. They're obviously taking the right steps. But I agree with you, Brady, in the sense that Cleveland is like the Celtics when it comes to draft picks. They have so many of them, they don't know what to do with them all.
If I was able to get Garoppolo this year, I would bet on the fact that I would not be picking number one next year. Maybe it's still a top five pick. Maybe it's a top 10 pick. It probably is a top 10 pick, but I'd like to think that if they got Garoppolo, they could go at least 4-12 with him.
The number one pick in this draft, not even going to be half as valuable as the number one pick in next year's draft when you have three quarterbacks at the top. So that's like, if it's $1 million for the number one pick this year, next year will be like $10 million because of when you got three quarterbacks and USC, UCLA, and Lamar Jackson. Oh my goodness, people are going to be tripping over each other to get that number one pick.
And it certainly sets things up interestingly for the Patriots if they have a shot at one of those quarterbacks and they also don't have Garoppolo because they traded him to get one of those quarterbacks.
You know what the Patriots would do then? I think they would trade that and get more picks because people would want that.
You're so high on this quarterback class next year.
I love it, yes.
You have a man crush.
Absolutely. The kid is, I mean, not even a full year, and look what he's done. And his passes are just unbelievable. He's just great.
Darnold, and again, I don't want to get too far into next year's draft.
I know.
But Darnold will be great. I'm not that high on Lamar Jackson as a full-service NFL quarterback.
I can see that.
And I'm not super high on Josh Rosen, who just was hurt half the season at UCLA.
I know that. He was hurt. But you know what? He still has a big upside. He didn't have the team around him. But you're right. Again, that's another year down the road there. I want to go ahead and get to David Price. By the way, you're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie, 101.3 ESPN. What, a couple starts now? What is a couple starts? 2, 3, 4? And he said, yesterday, that if he was younger, he would have had surgery, which I'm not sure if that's good news or bad news that he's older, that he's not having surgery.
I know. I thought that was kind of a strange comment, too.
I mean, Price is a weird guy more we hear him
talk. He is.
We didn't know this when they paid him $215 million or whatever. Wow, he's kind of quirky, which can be good at sometimes. Maybe the media likes that. But I don't know. The whole thing is a little strange. What's the difference between – is it because he's got more – I mean, my thought is that if he's going to have this surgery at 31 as opposed to 23, is it because that would probably – wipe out most of the rest of his career if he has it at 31?
Yes.
That's the thinking?
That's the thing. If you're 20...
Because you do see a lot of minor leaguers get Tommy John when it's kind of like, does he really need it?
If you're 23, it's, okay, I'm come back full strength at 25, and I know I can recover quicker. This is like... the same reason you didn't see Tanaka, and Tanaka was only 26 or whatever. Tanaka didn't have it either, because you don't want to miss a year, year and a half. Then you're going to be 33 and then hope that you regain your form. That's why he didn't do it. It looks as if he's going to be on the DL to start the year. I'm not a doctor. I would say he's back in the rotation by April 20th if things are going well.
Look at the difference. David Price, $217 million. We could say maybe, let's say he misses a month. Let's just round it out. He's going to miss April. Tom Brady missed 4 games. We acted like we were never going to see him again. Oh, my goodness, 4 games. This guy's getting $217 million. Well, if he's back April, maybe. But if as long as he's back by June, that goes to show you that's why you can't give pitchers. And I'm not just talking about Price. I even said this about Clayton Kershaw and what's-his-face up in San Francisco, Baumgartner. You just can't give him $30 million when they're starting like 30, if they're starting 30 games for
we
you.
Are now at the point where pitchers are literally making $1 million
a start
to go. 5 2/3, give up 4 runs and 6 hits.
And we coddle them worse than quarterbacks. Jeez.
Unreal.
This has been kind of a worst-case scenario week for the Red Sox because not only do you have Price starting the year on the DL, you had Rick Porcello get hit by a line drive over the weekend. I mean, Porcello got hit by a line drive off the bat of Yoenis Cespedes on Wednesday last week, and he's was scheduled to throw a simulated game yesterday. But I mean, Porcello gets hit, Price is hurt. The lack of depth here, kind of around the whole roster, the Red Sox are really, really star-studded at the top, but I don't know if they have a complete roster right now.
Better now than in at the end of the year, that's for sure.
Last I checked, Henry Owens probably wasn't the answer. Did you see his line the other day in that game against Minnesota that they lost 13 to nothing?
I know Stephen Wright was good yesterday in his debut.
And Kyle Kendrick. I mean, he's been the ace of the staff.
All right, guys, real quick, how many people we have signed up for the bracket challenge so far, Brady?
150.
Oh, wow.
Me?
We doubled up since yesterday's show. So all you have to do is go to ESPN.com, sign up when they ask you which group, the 101.3 ESPN one. The password is Huddle. And you could go and do your picks. I'll do mine after I see the games tonight. I just want to go and watch the games tonight.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I want to watch it. And I know we're going to be carrying the games on 101.3 here, ESPN.
So you're scouting University of New Orleans to see their impact?
No, I'm actually going to watch the game. No, I kind of want to see the Kansas State-Wake Forest game.
Sure.
I do want to see that. Providence-USC, I'm kind of interested in also, just a little bit, because USC is a Pac-12 school.
Actually, we got 175 people in right now.
Wow, that was...
Wow!
Well, that's because everybody's home today, so they have access to their computer, because, of course, they'd never use their computer at work for such things.
$101 on
there's a lot of good names too of the brackets that people have. One of them is I beat Arnie at everything, and another one is Smarter Than Rich.
Oh, I like
and
that one.
Another one is Farkas is a Homer.
Oh boy, so all three of us got picked on there. All right, so I'm gonna have to get my picks in tomorrow.
The tradition continues. Speaking of Homer, look what he's wearing today.
Albany one.
He's wearing
Albany
a University at Albany shirt.
I saw that video. Did you see the video that's been running all day today about what is his, what's his name? Hooley or whatever?
Peter Hooley, two years ago today.
Oh, jeez. They've just been running that all over Facebook on that. Like,
2 years
that.
Ago today. The game is over. I'm getting... Look, I'm like Belichick. I'm on to the NCAAs for UVM, and I'm on to the CIT for you all.
That's right, CIT. That's what they're playing in, the CIT.
Linden State, I believe, tomorrow night.
All right, so sign up in the bracket challenge right now, ESPN.com. Go to 101.3. When they ask you which group you want to sign in, put the password Huddle and get on in. What did Jordan Cameron say? That there's a lot of people talking about football. That's coming up next. You're in the Huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow, Mike and Mike.
Snow continue with your forecast on 101.3 ESPN. I'm meteorologist Amanda Lindquist, Local 22, Local 44 News.
It's 19 degrees at 101.3 ESPN.
101.3 ESPN. Here's our number, 802-655-6672. Call and be a part of the show. We're not picky, obviously. Here's Rich and Arnie.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Stay safe out there. Terrible, terrible conditions. Rich already had to be pulled out of his little...
Snowbank?
Snowbank, out of the, gas station. The snowbank at the gas station.
I guess maybe they should plow it, and B, maybe I should get some snow tires at some point.
Yeah, or learn how to drive in the snow. Shake the wheel.
Yeah, well, I have a 6-speed, so it's a little trickier shaking back and forth.
Yeah.
Got to do a little handiwork.
Yeah, well, learn how to park, too, where it's not so snow.
Oh, okay, Arnie, thank you.
You're welcome. You're a flatlander. You're very welcome.
I guess I am a flatlander.
There you go. A couple things I want to get to. And by the way, I'm still waiting to see. I want to, even though it's like the calm before the storm with Romo and Garoppolo, and, even wait till September comes around and we get into the whole Kirk Cousins thing. You know what's going on with him? You heard about his wife? She's having a baby during the second week of the season. So he said he doesn't know how he's going to handle the situation. So you know what people are going to say about that, don't you? Get your ass out there. Go to the game. I don't care. I don't care if you're having triplets, for crying out
Maybe
loud.
Maybe you should think about that when the...
When you're doing what, Rich?
The math, Kurt. Do the math.
There you go. Jordan Cameron. This was an interesting story because I talked about it over the weekend on my national show, 250 million people. I don't know if you know that, Rich.
No, I didn't know that.
Jordan Cameron, who's retired now, played tight end for the Browns and the Dolphins, recently said, quote unquote, "I don't think a lot of these guys love football, to be honest." He's talking about the players. "A lot of them don't. You play for other reasons, and every guy has their own reasons. They know why, and as long as you know why, that's what's really important. You keep playing without really loving football." He goes, "Because who loves to be hit in 10-degree weather by a 280-pound person? Really, yeah. No one likes that. Do you love football? I couldn't stand when people asked me that. I didn't even really think about that because I don't think people hate people. Let me rephrase that. I don't think players that play baseball think of like, oh, what a grind. I got to go to the game. Yeah, 162 games is a grind, but I don't think they hate the game. Matter of fact, I think baseball players and hockey players love the game more than just about everybody else. I think basketball players love the game, so I'm starting to doubt it, though, but some of them are taking time off. And he's saying, no, the football players play because of the money or for other reasons.
No, and I'm surprised this hasn't come up before. When you think about football, you see those guys out there at Lambeau Field, you know, in minus 10 degrees with a minus 30 wind chill smashing into each other. And are they really enjoying this? You know, it's like I often wonder, but I think for a lot of these people, they've never known anything else. What are some of these guys going to be without football? I mean, did you play, Brady? Did you play football?
No, I did not play football, just basketball and baseball.
I played football, and it was by far my third favorite of the sports I played. In other words, my least favorite.
But, Brady, you played baseball. You ever notice anybody on your baseball team like, oh, we got another game?
Well,
I mean, or something like that?
Yes, I did frequently, but these were Division III players that had social lives and girlfriends and classes and all that. Like that was not their living. Like, this is what these people have chosen to do.
And you only had, what, 30 games on your schedule?
40, yeah. Well, regardless, 40, yeah. Not 160.
But I guarantee you there are guys in the New York Penn League that are playing their 18th straight game, you know, in 18 days in, you know, six different cities who are hitting 140 I don't really want to do this.
But if they were making a couple mil, maybe it wouldn't bother them.
Right, but
so
they're
much.
Not.
You wonder... It comes back to this. Do you play the game because you love it, or do you play the game because you were good at it and it was your best chance to make money? That's really what. Did you love the game, or do you love it, or do you do it just because you were good
Anybody
at it?
Anybody out there play because, like, their father made you play? You know, your parents pushed you in the
But
store.
That's not at the professional level.
No.
That's different between 15-year-olds and pros.
No, I understand that. I'm just wondering because I loved all sports, though. I never recalled going, oh, gosh, I don't want to play baseball or football or basketball. It was in my psyche on something
like
that.
Yeah, and what did we do when we got home from school? Play it more.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd come home from basketball practice and spend 2 hours shooting baskets in the yard until it got pitch blackout.
But I think we're missing the point here in this conversation. I think the point is truly how many people love their jobs. It doesn't matter what that job is. How many people are married to their job, are in love with their job? I saw a quote yesterday that said, it was a Brock Huard we've had on this station before. He said that, you know what, he thinks best case scenario, 40% of players love football, but the ones who do, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, are franchise changing. The ones who do, if you find those ones that do love it, they're franchise changing. Ray Lewis, they're franchise changing.
That is still shocking. 40%, that means 60% don't love the game. And let's face it, let's be honest, they're doing it because of the money. So, I mean, unless they're doing it for the fame. But
fame, I think, is part of it in certain sports. I certainly think that of basketball.
Well, I think the money is
money,
one factor
fame,
there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they go hand in hand.
Money, fame, the perks, the advantages, the better life for your kids, the opportunity to have a better chance to meet a better spouse, all of those things probably factor into what the game can bring you. But again, Arnie, you say, I know you love radio, or at least I think you do, but you're always looking for an excuse to not do the show. Oh, we're not working today.
I would like to, but the only reason I want to take a day off is because I want to go see my kid play hockey, so I want to do more sports there.
So you can scream at the
ref.
Yes,
I want to go down to Boston. I can't get out of town because I work 7 days.
Right.
So I would die for a weekend just so I could see my kid play hockey or something, or just kind of, you know, just... leave town or something. I can't do that.
But I mean, I'm an exception to the rule because people always just say how lucky. I can't believe how lucky you are. You're doing. You can just tell by listening that you're doing exactly what you love. If you told me when I was 5 years old I was going to be doing sports talk radio in Burlington, Vermont, my favorite topic, my favorite ambition, my goal professionally in my favorite
town.
Get
out of here, was it?
Absolutely.
I didn't want to do this.
Sports radio in Vermont?
No, I didn't.
It's like a dream come true.
I wanted to be in movies. I wanted to be in TV.
Well, you were in movies.
No, I know, but radio was never even on my radar. I never wanted to do radar. I didn't care about radio. I just wanted to go and be like in movies. I wanted to be like a famous movie actor.
Well, you were a star in softcore porn.
Yeah, in softcore porn. But, I mean, how many people saw that one? And usually if they did see it, they turned their head, but... I mean, come on.
Who would figure, huh?
Yeah. I enjoy radio, But I enjoy TV a lot better because it's a hell of a lot easier.
But the thing about football, though, just getting back to the subject at hand, is it just these guys have been the best players on their team since they were in Pop Warner. So they like it because it's probably always a positive experience. From the time they were 6, 7 years old, they were told that they were great at something.
You know what's odd to me about this case in football is that Cameron said he likes a lot of the aspects that football has brought him. He likes the competitive nature. He likes the teamwork. He likes the camaraderie. He likes all that stuff. Isn't it kind of usually, though, the other way? Like, he looks like he enjoys the process but doesn't enjoy game day itself. A lot of people enjoy their equivalent of game day and not the other stuff. Like, a lot of people would say, I'd love to do a radio show for 2 hours. Okay, well, do you love booking the guests? Right. Do you love planning the show? Do you love getting
setting
here?
Setting up speakers and bars.
Yeah. Do you love doing that? I mean, and that's what it comes down to. It sounds, though, like he loves all that behind-the-scenes stuff and not the game itself, which I found fascinating.
It's funny because the one thing that did turn me off about football and none of the other sports, I love playing basketball and baseball because I loved the practice. I loved everything about it. But football, I hated the practices, loved the games. It was worth it for me to continue to play football all through high school because of game day.
All right, speaking about games, you had a good one last night. Overtime. I was listening for the fourth quarter, and then they went into overtime, and boy, oh boy, you had a good one there, huh?
It was something else. Congratulations. By the way, I believe about a week and a half ago, you looked me in the eye and said, so who do you think's going to win this thing?
And I said Rutland. What?
Just one letter changes the entire thing.
I got it right. There you go.
Not to boast or anything, but I did say Rutland.
Did you say that? Was that your pick?
Yes.
Damn, I wish I would have been paying attention.
Well, they just were so good defensively last night, and they had a couple of kids that could really shoot the ball, and man, that place was rocking last night. Patrick, Jim, I hope that place, and now the girls are going to be there next week, so it's just, actually this weekend, I think they've moved all of today's games to Thursday.
Right.
And then I think Saturday is still on for the girls' championship, but yeah, congratulations to Rutland. CVU, a great year. Unfortunately, it graduated just about everybody. It was kind of a make or break for the Redhawks this year.
Well, the final was 43-37 overtime.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were asking this on Facebook when we put up the story about who won the game. People said, all right, was it actually a good game? Was it low scoring but a really good game? Or was it – I mean, it was – neither team could score at the beginning.
No, the first quarter, the score at the end of one was 4-4, and it was 1-0 with 2 minutes left to play in the first quarter.
If I get my DeLorean, I'm going back to be a 17-year-old kid playing high school basketball here in Vermont and become a star. Oh, my goodness, man.
Yeah, it's about you, Arnie.
Look at you.
But the thing is it was just nobody could hit a shot. I mean, it's got to be nerve-wracking for those kids. They just come out there. Although Rutland, those kids were all seniors, too. They'd been out there, but congratulations to them. 50 years to the year since they won their last boys' basketball championship.
Brady, what's coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night?
Going to talk more about the Patriots situation here in the offseason, and we'll play batting practice. We got all the best sound bites in sports.
TC, Tom, Karen of Nesson coming up next. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow, Mike and Mike in the morning at 9 a.m. It's TNT Basketball Analyst.
Mike and Mike on your drive into work and the huddle when you drive home. It's Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Stay safe out there. My goodness, coming down like crazy. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Our next guest, as he joins us every week, he's not here in the East Coast, Rich. He's in Florida.
Sort of the East Coast.
We should just hang up on him. It's Tom Karen. How you doing, Tom?
I'm good. It's windy down here.
Are
we allowed to say we hate Tom Karen?
You can't do that. We're getting 2 inches an hour up here. 2 inches an hour.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was supposed to come home, and I got snowed in Fort Myers. I was supposed to go home Sunday and come back tomorrow, and I said, I'm going to pass on that. So not real popular on the home front right now, but that's fine.
Rich already got stuck in the snow at a gas station. At a gas station, they had to push
him
out.
How long has he lived in Vermont?
That's what I said.
Well, it'd be nice after a foot of snow if they'd plow the parking lot.
Come on.
That's a start.
Change? You heard
change? First of all, you're supposed to get your gas earlier in the week. Milk and bread yesterday when you go to the grocery store. You got to be ready for these things.
Yes.
Actually, I was stopping in to get gas station goulash. How's that sound? Silence.
One of those roast beef sandwiches on the back cooler behind the lottery tickets.
Yes, exactly.
All right, TC, let me start with this, all right, because Jordan Cameron, a former tight end, says most football players don't love football. I don't know if it's like 40%, 50%. You think the same thing goes for like baseball and hockey players, that a lot of them don't like the sport, they just do it for the money or the fame?
No, I wouldn't say that most athletes fall into that category. Football, you're lining up, running into each other, getting concussed on a weekly basis, so maybe not a surprise there. I think out of all the sports, I think hockey players will tell you they love the game. They grew up in the culture. Most hockey players will do anything to give back to the game, to help promote the game. They do things for the good of the game. And I think baseball players are the same way, because I think baseball players, you got to love the grind. You got to love the nightly routine and the mental fatigue you go through. Otherwise, you wouldn't play it as a kid. So, no, I think football is a little bit unique in that respect.
TC, I mean, I just threw out a prediction to see if it would stick when I heard about David Price's injury a couple, 3-4 weeks ago, and said he's not going to throw a pitch this season. Now he finds out he's going on the DL. Yeah. That's no surprise to anyone. But would you be real surprised if he doesn't throw a pitch this season?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'd be surprised if he doesn't throw a pitch. First of all, I mean, it's not news today that he said he's going to be on the DL. We said that 2 weeks ago when it all began. You do the math. He's not going to have time to build up the strength to be ready. He's throwing into a fence or a net or a trampoline or whatever he's doing right now. But he's still going on thinking he's going to be pitching. And, listen, there's no question he could throw a pitch in a week and find out he needs more or does need the surgery. But I'm going to take him at his word, because, as I said all along, if they knew right now that he needed Tommy John surgery, he'd be getting Tommy John surgery, because now you're putting next year at risk if you wait much longer.
Yeah. What did he mean when he said if he was younger that he would have surgery? What was that whole thing about?
Yeah, that was a little bit of a weird comment, I thought. But the way he explained it was that if he was younger and hadn't felt this in his elbow many times before, he'd be so concerned about it that they get surgery done. But part of what it does tell you is the doctor saw something in there that still says maybe he does need surgery, right? So it wasn't a great comment to hear, but the meaning of it from his point of view was that I know my elbow, I felt this before, I'm a veteran, I've been through this, so I don't think I need surgery.
Tom, I don't know if we had a chance to ask you this, because I don't know if we had you on before the comments came out about David Price saying that fans don't care about him, and as long as he pitches well, that's all that really matters. Is he mad about something? Is he upset about something, or what?
I don't know. I mean, listen, we're in the dog days of spring training, if you can call it that. All right, this thing's a week too long because of the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah,
and for most of the guys here, it's 3 weeks too long to begin with. you've already played what, nearly 20 games.
Wow.
And they're still 3 weeks away from opening day. I mean, 3 weeks from yesterday is opening day. So it's just kind of, they ought to just sort of say, listen, it's going to be a two-week period of spring training. Don't listen to anything any baseball player says, because they've just had enough of coming out and doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah, they won't feel that way when there's still 6 inches of snow on opening day on the ground at Fenway Park.
So yeah, exactly.
Get me back to Fort Myers.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, Mother Nature, we have 75 degrees in February, and we're getting a 3-foot snowstorm in March. But it's normal. It's all made up. There's nothing wrong with the environment. It's all a man-made thing.
You worried about the rotation depth? I mean, Porcello gets drilled last week, and Price has got what he's got going, and Rodriguez with the knee concerns. I mean, and you look at a Brian Johnson and Henry Owens, just nothing happening there. I mean, what's the concern right now in what appeared to be a strength?
Well, I mean, Kyle Kendrick was brought in for that reason, to give him a little bit more depth, and he's been okay. I mean, he's a serviceable major leaguer who'll be a back end of the rotation guy if they need him. What concerned me today was watching Drew Pomeranz pitch. Upton hit about a 500-foot home run off him that none of the outfielders even moved. Nobody flinched. And just about every other out was hit on the screws. I mean, screaming line drives to the outfielders left and right that go in the books as an out. But, Farrell saying after the game today, telling us after the game that he thinks Wright's a little bit ahead of Pomeranz, and that's no surprise. I talked to Stephen Wright. He looked good in two innings yesterday. said he went out and threw another 18 pitches behind the batting cages after his two innings of work. So it's essentially a three-inning outing, and he feels strong enough that he thinks he can go three or more on Saturday or Sunday when he goes again. I'm not worried about Porcello. I think he's fine. He took that liner off the hand. He'll be all right. Sale looked phenomenal on Saturday, and Erod looked really good on Sunday. The back end is a little bit of a concern if Price isn't there, because now you need Pomeranz and Erod both in that rotation. I'm on record saying I still think Pomeranz is more of a reliever than a starter. I think he's been better as a reliever throughout his career. I think he looked better as a starter at the end of last season. Better as a reliever than as a starter at the end of last season. So, if you're leaning on him, then you've got some concerns. But they've got enough arms here to get through whatever stretch they have to get through without David Price. Unless Rich is right, he's not going to blow a pitch this entire year. Then they're probably in trouble.
Yeah, you're in big trouble there. Hey, TC, give me a Pablo Sandoval update. How's he looking overall up down there?
Really good. I mean, he's like one of my, to me, he's had one of the most surprising spring trainings anybody has. He's, we all knew he lost the weight, but we didn't know what that would mean. And over the weekend, made 3-4 really good defensive plays. Did a couple of nice double plays, a couple of short hops, dove out and got a ball that he was able to throw over to first base. And then had a couple of big hits. Hit his first home run up in Clearwater on Sunday off Aaron Nola, who's expected to be the ace of the Philly staff eventually. Going to be a number five starter to begin the year, but they think he's going to be a number one type pitcher if he can stay healthy. So I think Sandoval's had a terrific camp, and I'm pretty encouraged by what I've seen out of him.
Switching to the Bruins, TC, how much of an absolute joy for Brad Marchand must have that been, a giant middle finger to his beloved Vancouver Canucks fans as he scores a third period hat trick in Vancouver late last night.
Unbelievable.
Was there any rioting in Vancouver last night? I missed it. I didn't see it. They took to the streets after. I tell you what, Brad Marchand is having an MVP caliber season.
Yeah.
You're going to have him in the conversation for the MVP at the end of the season, because there were times like last night, they were down by a goal twice, and he put him on his back, and the hat trick puts him away. That's a great night for him. I'm sure he was thrilled that it happened in Vancouver against the Canucks in front of their fans.
Yep.
And this team is absolutely on a roll right now. And if they can keep this through this road trip, they're not going to win every game. But if you can come up with a winning record on the road trip, you're going to be in pretty good shape here with 12 games to go.
People don't think of him as that guy, but Brad Marchand is currently sitting 1 point behind Connor McDavid for second, tied with Sidney Crosby in scoring in the entire NHL.
Amazing?
He has 35 goals, Tom.
I know. I mean, he's, you know what? He's figured out he can stop doing some of the stupid, cheap little plays that he did for a lot of the beginning of his career, because he's a legitimate NHL scorer. And he's exactly what that needed. It emerged at a time when, they made some swings and misses there with Bolesky and Hayes and guys who haven't really produced. But Marchand has stepped up and given them more than they ever expected.
Well, Tom, always appreciate you coming by. And for God's sake, put on a sweater. It's very chilly down there. We don't want you to get sick, okay?
Well, in honor of what you guys are dealing with Storm Stella, I'm going to go drink a Stella on the beach so that I feel like I'm with you guys.
That's so nice of you. That's
what
so
a guy.
Nice. You're great. You're great. Tom, thanks a lot, buddy. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, Tom. Karen of Ness and
stop
by.
Go hug a palm tree.
Yeah, in the beautiful state of Florida. I'm not a big Florida fan.
No, I'm not either. That's why I'm going to Arizona Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, you'll love it. It's much, much better than going to Florida. It's a hell of a lot better. All right, real quick, though, if you want to sign up for the Bracket Challenge, it's real easy. Just go to ESPN.com. Then you go ahead and put what group you want to sign up. That's 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN. And then when it asks for the password, put in the password huddle. We have like almost 200 signed up. Did we break 200 yet, Brady? Hopefully we're right up there. So get in now, and you'll have until Thursday at noon.
Yep.
Noon Eastern.
Yep.
To get your picks in. So
it only took me 10 minutes to figure out how to sign
up today. Get out of here. I don't believe you.
Were you able to use your smartphone to sign up?
No, I didn't go that far. Come on, what do you think this is?
Come on, that's insane.
Is that what that's called, a smartphone?
When we get back, though, not the phone, but somebody's dumb and they got dumber. I'm talking about the Browns. Why? We'll tell you about that when we get back. You like that, how I smart, dumb?
Yeah, it's
that was awesome. That's why I do national radio, 250 million people every month.
Really?
You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Mike and Mike in the morning at 9:30 a.m. It's ESPN NFL draft expert Todd McShay. Which players are rising and falling as we're just over a month away until the NFL draft? Todd McShay breaks it down tomorrow at 9:30.
And hour one almost in the books. Be safe out there. It is coming down like crazy. So
sideways.
Yeah, just how many, 2 inches an hour? Is that what they're
saying?
Yeah,
and the problem, too, is the fact that no matter what the plows are doing, it's just blowing back onto the road. So it's one of those things, and it's whiteout conditions. At least it was. At least we have an hour extra daylight, which will help a little bit, but it's still damn hard to see the road.
At least they got you a hotel room so you could be safe.
How about that? You can fend for yourself.
Yes, I'll fend for myself. I think I have to walk home in this type of weather.
Well, the idea of coming in from Jericho at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning wasn't real appealing. So
yeah, We all may be sleeping in here tonight, though. The snow right now is piled up so deep around everyone's car in this parking lot. I don't know if we're getting out. Luckily, I got a nice couch in my office.
I'm that guy that will drive through anything. I don't. There's nothing that I can't drive through. So, yes.
Yeah.
When I hear
is that right?
So, no, all BS aside, when I heard that you got stuck, I'm like, then you're a lousy driver. Then you don't know how to drive.
That has nothing to do with the 8 inches of snow that hadn't been plowed.
I don't care if it's 8 feet of snow. There's no way that I'm getting stuck no matter what, okay? Maybe I'm just a better driver than
you. Yeah, it must
look
be
at you, you're just getting mad. You're getting all steamed up.
You must
there.
Be a better driver.
That must be it. That must be it.
You know, in L.A. and stuff. You're a much better driver, especially in snow.
Especially in snow. The Browns said they could be interested, or the Browns could be interested in Geno Smith. Why? With all the quarterbacks out there, why, though? I don't understand why. Is he? Did he show you something with the Jets where you went, boy, I love what this kid could show? I mean, what are you looking at
that
there?
That would be no.
I don't understand there. I especially with the quarterbacks that are available, I'd rather have Jay Cutler before Geno Smith.
Isn't that amazing?
I would rather. You ready for this? I'd rather have Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, yeah.
Before I'd have Geno Smith.
Well, Kaepernick had a pretty decent year last
year. With the baggage he comes with, I'd rather have Kaepernick.
Talk about a fall from grace. Remember Geno Smith at West Virginia? What a show that guy put on.
I would have rather them just keep Robert Griffin III at that rate.
That too. I'm not a Geno Smith fan. I just don't see what they see. I don't know if there's like some cost-cutting move at the quarterback position or what.
You're bringing in Geno Smith for a look, you know how desperate they are, which just makes me believe that they will continue to sweeten the pot for Garoppolo as they get a little more desperate as the season starts
to approach.
The Browns
need to just put on sports talk radio and just do whatever the fans say. Enough of whatever they want to do. Just do what the fans have to say.
You know what? That would be a very smart marketing move on their part.
It may be.
Those poor fans.
Couldn't get any worse than what they do right now. I'm serious about that. It's absolutely horrible. You ever see that guy that wears the jersey of the Browns, has like a million
quarterbacks?
What is like that, 20, 25? Yeah. I don't even know, man.
From Bernie Kosar on.
One of the guys that does the show on Fox before me is on that jersey, Brady Quinn. Toward the end of it, but he's on that jersey also.
Oh, the list is long.
Yes, it is. Hour one in the books. Brady will have a SportsCenter update. We'll come back. The Patriots, would they dare trade? Oh, we'll get into it. We'll tell you about that. In the Huddle, that's what you're listening to right here on 101.3 ESPN.
WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh.
Hey, this is Traylor Haynes.
Hey, this is Kurt Suttle of the University of Vermont basketball team.
And you're listening to your home for UVM Hoops.
101.3 ESPN. Go Cats.
Those UVM Catamounts landed safe last night in Milwaukee, and the team is practicing today at Marquette University. The Cats leave early for Milwaukee in their NCAA tournament game against Purdue, which is on Thursday, tip-off 7:27. We'll have the coverage for you starting at 7 p.m. right here on 101.3 ESPN. You can watch the game with us at McGillicuddy's in Colchester. We'll be doing the shows live there starting at 4 o'clock, and they'll be watching the UVM game on Thursday. Again, the Cats left yesterday to beat that snowstorm, and the snowstorm coming down right now in full force. So if you're listening to us in the car, we appreciate that, but please do stay safe on your rides home. The Patriots signed free agent running back Rex Burkhead today. That just announced. They also could be losing Malcolm Butler. Butler in New Orleans tomorrow to meet with the Saints and to try to get a deal done that would take him out of New England. Eddie Lacy, free agent running back, signs with the Seattle Seahawks, a one-year deal, $3 million guaranteed. And David Price going to start the year on the disabled list for the Boston Red Sox. Tom Karen of Nesson joined us in hour number one. Brandon Lang, our Vegas insider, makes his return to the airwaves in hour number two at 5:20. The Huddle with Rich and Arnie continues on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie, do you think you could be a little calmer this segment? The Huddle with Rich and Arnie is back on 101.3 ESPN.
I'm so aggravated. I'm really so aggravated.
Why?
My wife just came coming and she said, we got to take the 101.3 car home.
No.
Yeah, because the car's stuck, she tells me.
Well, I need that van.
I said, we'll take all three of the cars home. We'll take the Star car home, the Planet car home, and the ESPN car home.
Just take all the vans.
I don't understand. I go, how could you be stuck in the parking lot?
Well,
we haven't drove anywhere.
Foot of snow.
I don't care. I don't care.
I love this. Just after he went on and on gloating about his driving skills, his wife comes in and says, I can't get one
foot. That's why I don't believe her. I'm like, just when.
Have you not been outside? It's almost undrivable out.
I'm in a parking lot, Rich. I can drive out of a parking lot.
Not if you're stuck.
Well, why would you get to turn the wheel back and forth, back and forth? Do you not know how to? Do you ever?
No, I have no idea how to drive in the snow.
Have you ever, you take the wheel, you jerk it back and forth, and you're back and you're forth, and you're back and the forth, and you get out of there. What's wrong with you? Is it that tough?
I can't. When are you leaving? I need to know to the minute when you're leaving.
You know,
I'm going to video.
Brady, get the Facebook Live out. I'll show you how to get out of a parking lot with snow on
it. I'm
going to
be on the air at 6 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, you get the Facebook video out.
We're all pushing each other out of the parking lot.
So that means you guys are waiting here until I get off the air?
You sleep here. I don't care about that. I'm getting out of the park. This is ridiculous. I don't see how you get stuck in a parking lot because you're not driving anywhere.
I couldn't get out of the Cumberland Farms.
If you have a shovel, shovel out the snow around the car and drive away.
Absolutely. Then the shovels are right there in the lobby. You go ahead.
That's fine. I will.
Okay.
I will.
I want to see that.
What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to sleep here? You think I'm just going to sleep here? What's
wrong
with you?
If you do, I, again, want my camera handy.
Yeah. No, I can't sleep here. I got to be in my own bed. I need my own pillow and comforter. I can't be sleeping here in the lounge, and it's very chilly here. I can't be doing that now. No way.
Such third world problems. Yeah. First world problems,
I'll take the 101.3 car and bump my car into the street. I don't give a
damn. No, you're not touching that van. That one's mine tonight. All the vans of the three stations in this building all are equipped with snow tires.
I'm shocked it's that bad. I'm shocked that we can't even get out of the parking lot, you're telling me.
No, it doesn't surprise me in the least.
Quick call. Let's go to Josh in Burlington. Josh, good evening or good afternoon. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Josh?
So I think hell, as we may be witnessing, is freezing over because I've called into possibly for the first and the last to take your side here, Arnie. I just drove from Middlebury to Burlington. I'm still in the car, and you can get out of the parking lot.
Yes, I know that. I know that. You have to be a crappy driver if you don't know what you're doing, and you can't even get stuck in you're stuck in a gas station, you're stuck in a parking lot, and you just came up from Middlebury?
Yeah, I work in Middlebury, live in Burlington, so just got home.
How bad are the conditions out there? How was it?
7.
Pretty brutal. You could barely see the car in front of you. I probably crossed 20 cars off the road.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But for parking lot driving, you can move the car. You'll be able to get out.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Josh. I don't know. Rich just doesn't know how to drive in there. 20
That's
cars.
Right. That's right. Trust the LA guy. He knows how to drive.
Yeah, well, believe me, yeah. I will. I'll get that done. Trust me on that.
I can't wait till 6 o'clock.
Safe out there. And if you see a silver Chevy Cruze, get out of my way. Because
Well, that's the thing. You can't stop in this weather. You can't stop. You get to a red light. I saw people just driving right through red lights. I mean, obviously, they were looking first to see if anything was coming. But people, no one's stopping at stop signs. People are just driving because if you stop, you're out of luck because it's going to freeze over or right under your tires.
You're starting to scare me now.
Oh, it's nasty.
My wife said the same thing. She's like, I got to build up some speed to go up this hill.
Yeah.
I go, just drive. Just drive the damn car.
Wow.
Don't make a big deal about this thing. Just drive.
You're just a dream date.
I am a total dream date. Yes, that's
where the hell did she find you? That,
she won't let me drive. She says I'm a lousy driver.
No.
Yeah.
Who would ever imagine that?
I can't believe that. All right, you're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Stay safe out there in these near whiteout conditions. Are the Patriots, could they possibly think about trading Julian Edelman? The fact that they've got Cooks now, the fact that they're pretty deep. I say no. No way in hell would they ever do that. I don't see what that's going to accomplish, why they would do that. Is there money to be
saved?
Can
I tell you why?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, please do, because there's no way.
Because if
I'm
Todd Brady, I'd be throwing punches if they did.
Talk me out of it.
Well, number one, here's Julian Edelman's going into the last year of his contract.
Right.
31 years old this year. Get, as Belichick says, get rid of him 1 year early before 1 year late. Last year of his contract, 31 years old. Also, you just got Brandon Cooks, who could effectively replace Edelman in the offense, who's 8 years younger.
But is Cooks a slottish guy?
I mean, no, he's a more of an outside threat.
He's a speed threat.
But you're going to probably bring back Amendola. You've got Malcolm Mitchell. You've got now three running backs that catch passes out of the backfield. And also, remember this, as of this moment, well, you haven't traded Malcolm Butler. As of this moment, you don't have a first or a second round pick. What if someone's willing to part with a pick to get you back into the one of the first two rounds?
It's not going
to
be for you're not going to get a first round pick for Edelman.
No, I don't think you get a first. You might be able to get a late second. I don't know. Depends, but just saying.
Oh yeah, I mean, what do you have? 100-something catches?
Would
last
you?
Year?
I mean, do you think the Patriots would think about trading Julian Edelman to get back in?
How much does he make
the draft?
How much does he make this year? Or what would we count against the cap?
I don't know. We'll find out. But I mean, just you just say the name Julian Edelman as a Pats fan, I just absolutely cringe.
Well, when you have one person behind you, and that would be Tom Brady, I think that vote counts a little bit more than everybody else's.
You know what? And we want to say that that doesn't matter, and that
it does matter. It does matter.
In this case, I think they're going to talk to Tom Brady on this because you want Tom Brady happy.
Edelman makes $3 million this year.
Oh, of course steal. You keep him. That's a steal. That's a bargain.
But the question is, could you get – again, you don't have a first or a second round pick. You don't have – you just gave away a fourth as your last punishment for Deflategate. Would you trade Julian Edelman? They traded Chandler Jones. They traded Jamie Collins, who were younger and impactful at their positions as well. Would you trade him to try to recoup
not
some value?
Not at $3 million, I'm not going to. But then again, they want to get rid of what's-his-face Butler at $4 million. So.
I'm not sure.
I thought you're supposed to keep people with cheap contracts like that. I don't understand.
Well, and the other thing to think about, too, with Edelman is, yeah, it's his last year of his contract, but can you imagine Julian Edelman getting a couple of extra dollars from the whatever, any team? Just saying, yep, I'm going to Carolina because I'm going to make an extra million. I can't picture that. He seems like, I mean, he has the biggest man crush on Tom Brady. Those two are inseparable.
Yeah, I'm with you also. I think it would be very, very difficult to trade Edelman, but has Brady never been close to anybody else that they've traded before?
I think that Edelman is a special case. I mean, you've seen their Facebook stuff and their YouTube stuff. I mean, those two.
It's like you and Arnie.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're just
two peas in a pod.
We are inseparable.
Absolutely.
Just buddies.
No reason to trade him because you're coming off a Super Bowl win. You're making only $3 million a year. Yes, you did get Cooks, but at $3 million, that's nothing. That's chump change when it comes to football money.
And we use the term hometown discount a lot loosely, and very rarely does it come into play. But when it comes to Julian Edelman, I absolutely believe that that would figure in.
All right. By the way, you're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. We got a little bit of a problem here if you're the NFL.
Where do you start? Oh.
Yeah, well, we're talking about Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, I thought you were talking about getting out of the parking lot.
Yeah, that's true, too. I can't wait to go out there when the show ends. But Ezekiel Elliott in some trouble. I guess we'll see what the NFL is going to do to him. We'll see what the Cowboys are going to do to him. If you didn't hear the story, Brady, what was it? It wasn't Mardi Gras. It was
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, isn't that coming up this Friday?
Yeah.
All right, pre-St. Patrick's Day, whatever the hell that is. I didn't even know. Is there a high? I didn't even know that was a holiday, Rich.
What, pre-St. Patrick's
Day? Well, it's a St. Patrick's Day party. They just weren't celebrating. They were celebrating it the weekend before St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, excuse me, the pre-St. Patrick's Day party. Anyway, the beads were being handed out, kind of like the Mardi Gras thing. Right. There was a young lady, it seemed like on a terrace type thing, a balcony type thing.
Right.
Ezekiel Elliott was there. He knew the young lady before, and he pulled down her top, exposing her breast. I got to be honest with you. At first, you hear this, people kind of laugh at, Ezekiel Elliott, boys will be boys. It's Mardi Gras or, Mardi Gras type theme, St. Patrick's Day, people are drinking. She, at first, what was her reaction? She kind of laughed about it. At first, but then when he tried to do it the second time, I heard that she pushed his hand away and said no or something like that.
Right. That's, again, the video's up on our website, not suitable for work, but most of you are out of work right now, but it is up at 1013ESPN.com. She kind of gestures towards her chest and, draws attention to her chest, and then he pulls her shirt down.
Isn't that sexual assault? I'm just curious. I didn't know that. Isn't that sexual assault? And if that's sexual assault, don't you automatically get immediate suspension for sexual assault?
The other thing, the first thing that hits me, and it's the obvious one that should be, it's Ezekiel Elliott. Don't put yourself in a position to have this scene.
He's under investigation for assault right now.
That's right. For his Ohio State days, wasn't it?
Just after Ohio State, but before.
Yeah, I mean, but don't be stupid. I mean, everything's on videotape now. There's cameras everywhere. And look, let's not kid ourselves. We know exactly what goes on at these sort of Mardi Gras kind of St. Patrick's bashes. there's right. a lot of debauchery going on, and that's a very common thing for women to.
But for women to do that, it's not in his place to do that.
Right, right. I don't very often see guys grabbing women's shirts and pulling them up or down. Usually it's the women who voluntarily do it. Not that I've, of course, ever seen that.
I think you have two ways looking at this. This is a bad look for Ezekiel Elliott. One, she was not a consenting party to this, and then you do have the potential for it to be sexual assault, mm-hmm. in which case the league and the Cowboys should take it very, very seriously. Even in the case where she's okay with it, even if she is again, because we're not hearing any of the conversation that's gone on before or during this incident, we just have the video. Even if she was a consenting party to this act by Elliott, it's a bad look for you mm-hmm. to do something like that to a woman when you are under investigation for your mistreatment of a woman. It's a bad look considering the profile that you have. If she was not okay with it, then you're talking about a potential crime. Even if she was okay with it, you're talking about a very bad look.
You know what's interesting? It'll be what the NFL is going to fine him, because the NBA fined Andre Iguodala $10,000 for those words that were inappropriate during a post-game interview, I guess. Was it pre-game, post-game? I don't even know what it was. You know, because he dropped the N-bomb mm-hmm. And said some other inappropriate things. He got fined $10,000. What do you think they're going to do Ezekiel in? He may get a suspension for something like this.
Well, the Iguodala thing was on live television, wasn't it?
No, I think it was a taped radio interview. But it's still part of the NBA process when you do the pregame or the postgame or whatever it is.
Right, but this was more of, this wasn't some sort of pregame show.
No,
going out and getting hammered whether he's hammered or whether he's having a good time, it doesn't give you the right to do what he did.
But
he's
got to be
a little less stupid, especially in the fact that he's got a history of this sort of thing.
He may have to be suspended for this. This is sexual assault. The NFL takes sexual assault very seriously.
What if the woman goes to the prosecutor or whatever and says, or the NFL, and says, oh, come on, we're just goofing. I didn't care.
But she doesn't get to choose that, though. She doesn't get to, and by the way, she did smack his hand away the second time he tried to do that.
Okay, that changes things a little.
Wait, and just to give you all the facts, after the incident, I guess the two of them were hanging out together.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no animosity after the incident.
But that's why I bring up the fact that is the woman going to wherever and just saying, oh, stop, this is ridiculous, why are we even talking about this? It was fun, it was hilarious.
Well, because it's Ezekiel Elliott, it's not because
I understand that, what will the NFL do as far as suspensions if the woman says, don't even talk about this, I don't care?
Well, Ray Rice's wife...
That's a little different.
But she didn't want to press charges.
She was beaten unconscious.
Right, but she didn't want to press charges, the husband still gets the penalty.
If the woman goes and says, I'm okay with this, blah, 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 whatever. If the woman doesn't want to move forward, then I don't think that the league can suspend Elliott. But Elliott needs to understand that you're what you said initially. You cannot put yourself in this position, because even if she's a consenting party, even if she was, or even if she's okay with it after the fact, it's not a good look for a guy to be doing something that a lot of people consider degrading to women when you are under investigation for your mistreatment of a woman. It's just at the very best, it's a poor look for Elliott and for the Cowboys. That's the very best case scenario.
In that situation, it's not like he doesn't know there's 8 million cameras. Everybody in the place goes, oh, my God, it's Ezekiel Elliott. He's right there. Everyone knows that he's there. They're videotaping every move he makes.
Women's groups are not like, protesting in bunches over something like this. Sexual assault, mm-hmm. NFL player, Dallas Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? That whole thing.
Well, the leader of a women's rights group is calling for Elliott to be suspended.
Well, I'm talking like getting like thousands of people down at the Cowboy game or at the practice or the facilities or whatever. And I mean, really going haywire on this. So they did on Ray Rice. I don't know if there were protests.
I just think this is a much different case than Ray Rice beating his wife unconscious.
Well, it is.
I mean, she certainly wasn't a willing participant in being beaten unconscious in an elevator.
No, but she didn't want to go ahead and press charges.
Right, and I'm also... Yes, that may be. And I'm not saying that this woman was willing either, especially if she pushed his hand away the second time.
Yes, right. Well, we'll see what the NFL does. I think they're definitely going to punish him. I think it's going to be more than just a fine, though. I think it's going to be like maybe a 1 or 2 game suspension, to be honest with you. I could be wrong. We'll see how seriously they take it. We'll talk to Brandon Lankin next, though. It's March Madness, people. And by the way, if you want to sign up for the Bracket Challenge, it's real simple. Just go to ESPN.com. When they tell you what group you want to enter in, just go to 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN. And then when they ask you for the password, put in Huddle. That's Huddle. And you can sign up. Brady, what are we, close to 200 now? Almost signed up there. So
we are at more than 180.
Nice. So we're going to give away $101 to the winner. Sign up now. You have until Thursday at noon Eastern. Don't push it. You might as well get it in today or tomorrow after the games tonight.
And it's not like you don't have time now because you're already home from work.
Yes, yeah, perfect
day. Hopefully.
Watch the games tonight, which we're carrying right here on 101.3 ESPN. They don't call it the playing games anymore. It's the first round. Is that what it is
now? What is it called?
It's the first
four.
The first four?
So ridiculous.
First four, but there's more than four teams. But anyway, there you go. So the first four, we'll have the games for you today at 101.3 ESPN.
Sponsored by Allstate.
There you All right, we'll talk to Brandon Lang, get you some March Madness. Where are the upsets coming from? Who are the Cinderellas? We'll talk to Brandon about all that coming up next. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here.
Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 17 at 101.3 ESPN.
Let's get back inside the huddle with Rich and Arnie, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Stay safe out there. If I see anybody driving with a bunch of snow on their roof, I'm going to run you off the road.
Well, considering it's coming down 2 inches an hour, that's a possibility.
I'm going to run you off the road.
Well, you won't have to. They'll run themselves off the road.
Rich, let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. He's our Vegas insider. It's our buddy we had on during the football season. It's Brandon Lang.
Brandon, what's the appeal of March Madness at Vegas? Is it the possibility of a Cinderella, of a George Mason, of a Butler, and I guess to a point a Gonzaga making a run? Or what appeals bettors towards this?
Two things. One, there's games all day, every day from, you know, East Coast noon to midnight. That's first of all. Second of all, it's the do or die, all in, loser goes home, which makes the intensity of the games that much more incredible. So we all, degenerates like us, we gamble because we want to watch the game. And when you magnify these games to the level of which you do, it's the ultimate intense high that no drug can capture, that only degenerates can understand. This is as good as it gets for us.
Yes.
So, and if you love basketball, it even heightens it even more.
Brandon, I was going to say, how do you bet the tournament? Do you do brackets? Do you just bet games with lines? Do you do money lines? Do you bet, like, who's going to go to the Final Four, all of the above? How do you go about betting the tournament?
I'm a game by game. Yeah, I put up a bracket, but I'm the first to tell you, all my handicappers have their brackets up at BrandonLang.com. If you want to go look, click on it. It's free. See who they have. Mine's going up here in a little bit. But for me, it's game by game. And I only release one game on the website a day.
Wow.
I want that game to be the best play of the day. And with all these games, that's the fun part. What is it? What is Harrison Ford grabbing that jewel at the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark? What's that one right there going to be before all hell breaks loose out of the walls as I'm running out of the place? What's that one game going to be? And for me, to try to go 4-0 these next 4 days with a plethora of games and lines. It's just the adrenaline's flowing.
Brandon, with March Madness, how easy it is to make or lose money in the tournament? I mean, is this easier than the NFL? Who wins here? The bettors win? Vegas usually comes out on top, or is that, of course, they
do? I think Vegas comes out on top because of people not knowing how to wager to make money. That's A. B, people betting too many games and parlays and this and that. I think Vegas makes money. The sharps pick their spots. The sharps find their value. Again, one of the value plays that just jumps out at me is if you look at the 12-5 matchup, Iowa State is a 5 playing a 12. Iowa State's laying 6.5.
Right.
Virginia's a 5 playing a 12. Virginia's minus 7.5.
Right.
Notre Dame's a 5 playing a 12. Notre Dame's minus 7.
Right, against Princeton.
Yep, and then over here you got Minnesota a 5, Middle Tennessee State a 12.
Yeah, that's a one-point game,
Yep, Vegas said, you know what, you guys who set the seats here are smoking crack.
Yeah.
You need to put the crack pipe down. So what that's telling you is that 5-12 matchup is an 8-9 matchup in terms of the boys in Vegas, hence the reason why that game's a pick'em. So I think, personally, the value of that line, Vegas is telling you, they're giving you the winner. Who are they handing you in that game?
Which one?
The Middle Tennessee State, Minnesota, making that game a pick'em. Who are they telling you the winner is?
Well, I got to go with Middle Tennessee State.
that's who they're giving you the winners. Right. The committee says they're a 12 seed. Vegas says the game's a pick.
Right.
Vegas is telling you Middle Tennessee State's your winner. They're handing you that winner. So you look for those value plays. Wichita State is a 10.
I'm just going to ask you about that. Wichita State, six-point favorite. They were the 10 seed, but yet they're a six-point favorite over Dayton. That's a lot of lumber, though.
That is a lot of lumber. I tend to think Dayton's going to – I think Wichita State wins the game, but I think Dayton's got the personnel to handle what Wichita State does and keeps that game close.
Brendan, which big team's most likely to go out early?
You know, you look for a one to go out in the second round. A one's never lost in the first round.
Right,
so you
right.
look at the Kansas-Miami-Michigan matchup. That could get a little testy, both sides. I think Miami and Jim Larenga actually match up better with Kansas than Michigan State, but I don't know if Miami can solve Michigan State and Tom Izzo. North Carolina better be careful with Seton Hall or Arkansas, but I think they have too much firepower. You look over on the other side. I don't think Northwestern or Vandy can beat Gonzaga in the next round, and I don't think Villanova is going to lose to Wisconsin or Virginia Tech. So I think in the next round, though, I think that North Carolina is going to be in trouble with Iowa State.
Ooh.
I really do. I think Iowa State has Kansas's number, and I think Iowa State gets them. If Iowa State can get by Nevada, and I think the winner of Iowa State-Nevada, I think, beats Kansas. I think Kansas is your first number one seed to go out. TCU exposed them in their conference tournament. I think North Carolina gets all the way there before they lose to Louisville or UCLA. I think Gonzaga gets to the Elite Eight before they meet Arizona. And I think that's going to be an epic game. And I got Villanova playing the Duke-SMU winner. Wouldn't surprise me, boys, if SMU beats Duke and upsets them. SMU's legit.
That's my Final Four team. That's my Final Four team, Brandon.
Yep, they are. Yeah. They are a sleeper team that nobody's paid attention to. Larry Brown recruited his butt off and left some serious groceries, as Parcells says, in the refrigerator. I have them beating Duke, and if they don't beat Duke, I have Villanova beating Duke.
You stole my Final Four pick. I have SMU in the Final Four, but let me go and ask you about our Vermont Catamounts. You were mentioning Iowa State over Nevada, but in the bottom half of that bracket, you have Purdue and Vermont. Now, I know Purdue won the Big Ten. They're a good team and lost in the tournament the last couple of years, lost in the conference tournament to Michigan, but I think this is a good matchup for Vermont. I know that's going to be tough inside, but they could shoot the three, Vermont can.
Yep, I have two 13s over...
Fours.
A four.
Yeah.
I have East Tennessee State.
Right.
I think it's going to scare the crap out of Florida. And I have Vermont written down here over Purdue. My 12s are NC Wilmington beating Virginia and Middle Tennessee State. My 11 is Rhode Island beating Creighton.
Oh, that's a good one.
Another 14 that I like is Florida Gulf Coast over FSU.
Yep. Dunk City.
I know it's the popular pick. I don't see a 15 out there.
Bucknell. I like Bucknell.
You know, I just don't think Bucknell. I looked at handicapped it. They don't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
I do like them plus the points over West Virginia because they're smart. And I could see Bucknell winning that game outright. West Virginia has a history of just imploding against teams that don't turn the ball over, and Bucknell doesn't do that. And they got great guards. So most certainly, I looked at them. But the other 13 seeds I love more. I love East Tennessee State more.
Yeah.
I liked Vermont from the beginning, and I've always liked the story, the coach taking the job, $8,000 a year to go up there and coach, and just the whole story of Vermont is great.
And, of course, now you're getting our expectations sky
high
here.
Yes, of course.
Actually believing that they have a shot in this game.
I believe they have a shot.
Absolutely.
You know, listen, Purdue's big. They are. But they're slow, and they're not the quickest team on the face of the planet Earth. And, you know, you want to watch Hoop Dreams that was on the other night. When Arthur Agee and his team got to the city championship, they played a very big team, and they were quick and faster. And Arthur, I just watched it again last night as a handicapping game. I watch it every time it's on because, you know, you look at William Gates and Arthur Agee now, they're in their 40s, their dads. It's just amazing. We grew up with them for 5 years and watched them, you know, watch them mature. But listen, they shoot the three well. They play really good defense and don't give up the three for Purdue. And they make sure they box out and just kind of keep the rebounds even, they can shock the world. It's a big, tall order, though. That's why it's always tough for a 13. But they definitely have the makeup to do it.
All right, as we let you go, last thing, give a little love for my Pac-12, my Arizona Wildcats. I could put them in the Final Four with UCLA and Oregon. And I know Oregon lost Boucher, their big shot blocker, who blocks about 2.5 a game. But they're still a legit team. I can see three of the teams making the Final Four.
Oregon, no. They won't be able to beat Louisville. That loss inside for them is huge. But
yeah.
you stole from me, and you I'm not going to have you arrested, because I have watched, and I stay up late. I'm one of these people that can only function on 4 hours sleep. So I always watch the West Coast games. And people don't realize that three of the best college basketball games this entire year were the three UCLA-Arizona games. The first one at Pauley Pavilion, the second one in Tucson, and the last one in the Pac-12 semifinals. And so people don't realize is UCLA lost four games this year. They lost to Arizona and then had to turn around and go right in to play USC at USC.
Right.
And they didn't lose again until they lost by two at Oregon. They were undefeated going into Oregon, lost by two. Then lost to Arizona. USC caught them a little flat. And then Arizona beat them in the Pac-12 semifinals.
Right.
That's it. They are that good. Arizona, on the other hand, they got starts with a T.
Alonzo Trier.
Yep, they got him back. They're a whole completely different team. And they, if you haven't seen them play, they're legit. I actually have... in one of my brackets, Arizona and UCLA playing for the national championship, because I think people are going to be so surprised as they watch this tournament unfold. The Dukes and the North Carolinas and the Villanova get all the pub because they're on the East. When people see West Coast basketball this year and they see Ball and they see Alford and they see Arizona and they see these teams, they're going to go, holy mackerel, I think they get their due this year.
Brandon, if people want to get a hold of you, where can they go check you out? What website?
BrandonLang.com. Two new handicappers on the site. Wait till Thursday. Get the entire Thursday day, all the best bets, free with 1 day free all access pass. As I said before, the brackets are up. Take a look if you're still filling out your bracket, and let's go have fun
on
the next 3 weeks.
Come on, get me on the site. I'm 100% in picking games. You know that.
You know what? I gotta look. You know what? Send a picture to my customer service. Let me see how you look all cleaned up, and then we'll start with that. How's that?
All right, you got it. Brandon, we'll speak to you later on, buddy.
All right, buddy. Be good.
Take care, Brandon Lang. Go check him out at BrandonLang.com. Rich, great article I saw. Guess who are the most depressing, not cities, but the depressing sports cities. We'll give you the list when we get back. And LeVar Ball, of course, the father of the Ball kids. And now that's not my new name, LaArnie Ball. We'll talk about him when we get back. Also, you're in the Huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on.
Call Rich and Arnie now to sound off. The Huddle is on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Be careful out there. It is just absolutely crazy. Though my wife finally got the car out, I said, you get out there and shovel the damn snow and get the car out of the lot.
And what was her response?
She did it. She shoveled the car, and now she's driving up and down the street, but she's afraid to park and get the car stuck. So she's just driving in front of the place waiting for me to get off
work. But we're still on for another 17 minutes.
Well, then she'll have to keep driving.
At least the car will be warm.
The car will be very warm. All right, breaking news. Brady, give everybody the breaking news on what's going on with Dante Hightower. What's happening there?
The Steelers have made an offer to Hightower, but they have also told Hightower that if he gets on the plane without accepting the offer is being pulled. The Steelers do not want to be part of Hightower using their offer as leverage for the Patriots. And then a weird story that I'm trying to figure out if it's true or not, but Adam Schefter says that the mayor of Pittsburgh has banned all flights out of Pittsburgh, and maybe that'll keep Hightower in town so we can think about the offer a little more.
Well, wait a minute.
Maybe it's probably because of the snow.
Wait a second. If I'm in Pittsburgh making a connection to, I don't know, Phoenix, I want to get there, and I'm being told my flight is being delayed so that Dante Hightower can be found and not be allowed to leave the city?
I don't know. Maybe it's because there's snow there. Maybe that's why they're canceling all flights.
No, I didn't think the storm was supposed to hit Pittsburgh.
What do you think he'll do then? So he actually...
Oh, see, that was a fake Schefter account.
Okay, fake. Well, I believe it because there was snow, so I'm thinking,
That's why I said I wasn't sure if it was true. That didn't feel right. That's a fake Schefter account, but really, really good fake account.
Yeah, it's fun.
It took a while for me to figure out.
But the Hightower...
The offer's real.
Okay, the offer's real. That means he signed the offer, right, if I understand it, because they said if you get on the plane, the offer's no longer good. So I obviously made a firm offer for him, and he'll have to decide whether he's going to take it or not.
Boy, that is probably the last team, as a Patriots fan, I want him to go to.
Oh, boy, how great would that be? Oh, man.
Now, the Steelers lost Lawrence Timmons. He went to the Dolphins. Yeah, so
that's
a
big loss.
So there's and Jarvis Jones has just signed with the Cardinals. So there's a definite need on defense for the Steelers. Man, you're right. I think that would be tough for Patriots because the Steelers are the one team that feel like maybe they're in the ability to compete with the Patriots
until
in the
Denver
AFC.
Gets a quarterback. Yeah, yeah, no question.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see exactly how much you're going to give him too. That's what I'm curious about. If it's going to be on the same level of Collins? Is that who they traded away?
Yes.
I want to see if it's going to be on the same level as that, or if it's going to be a lot more, and that the Patriots weren't going to match it anyway. So,
well, I think they're going to. I really do. I just don't think he's leaving. I'm just throwing that out.
We can only hope. Rich, I saw an article, Brady. I said this to you about the most depressing sports cities in America, right?
Yep.
Is there any I guess you're miserable because your team suck? Is that the way it works?
Teams are bad. Your teams have lost in heartbreaking fashion. That kind of helps you on the misery point.
All right. The top five cities of misery. I guess we'll go from five up to number one. Number five was Orlando.
What?
And I'm trying to think. Well, first of all, it's got good
one
weather.
Team.
Yeah, they got the Orlando Magic. Do they count like the Tampa Bay Rays as a team, or I don't know?
Yeah, they count teams that are in your general area, but Tampa and Orlando are nowhere
60 miles apart.
They are,
Orlando has one team, and they're not very good.
Yeah, so
but it's not like they have this massive losing history of decade after decade.
Yeah, I don't know why they'd be so miserable over that one.
It's the happiest place on earth.
Number
Come on.
Four, Washington, D.C. area. So, of course, you got the Capitals. You got the Wizards.
Who are very good and have shots at winning something this year.
Well, up to this year, though. And then, of course, you got the Redskins.
Yeah.
And the Nationals. So, I can see why you're pretty miserable.
DC is deceptive because all of those teams, except maybe the Redskins, are pretty good right now. They have a very bright future.
Number three on the list, St. Louis. Well, they just lost their football team.
Yep.
They don't have an NBA. They used to have the St. Louis Spirits, right?
The Spirit of St. Louis, yes.
The description simply says the Rams are gone and the Cubs just won the World Series. What more do you need to say than that?
All they have are the Blues and the Cardinals.
Yeah. The Cardinals have won a World Series,
But the Blues is a long, long streak of
the
nothing.
The Blues is a long history.
Yeah, and they're always good, but then they blow it in the playoffs. But the Cardinals, I would think, we're talking bottom five. What was this guy
I like number two, Atlanta, which, I mean, look at the Braves, all those great teams, yet they only have, how many World Series?
One.
Yep. So I think there you got the Braves there. The Hawks have just done nothing. I mean, they didn't do anything really when Dominique was around.
Yeah, but the Hawks are pretty good. They're a playoff team every year. Falcons made the Super Bowl.
Falcons did make the Super Bowl.
I agree with almost nothing on this list so far.
All right, then number one on the list is very easy because I live there for a little bit. Buffalo, where my wife's from. Yeah. The Buffalo Bills, four straight losses in the Super Bowl. The Sabres, who lost to the Stars. With the
controversially
in the crease BS, yes. I don't want to say that, and they lost the Buffalo Braves that eventually became the San Diego Clippers that became the LA Clippers.
Does it count if you only have two teams that makes you the worst sports city in America?
Yeah,
I tell you what. Here's another one I don't agree. I'm just going to go. I'll go rapid fire on the list. 20th was Milwaukee. I didn't agree with that because Green Bay isn't that near Milwaukee.
Well,
and the Packers are always good.
Yeah, I consider that. For the Packer fans. But, yeah, I have Chicago fans of that, too, but it's like two hours north.
Milwaukee, then Nashville, Phoenix.
The Suns, the Coyotes, the Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals
and,
are pretty
And the
good.
Diamondbacks, though. The Diamondbacks did win a World Series.
Yeah, but it's always beautiful there. So.
Memphis.
Memphis has one team.
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City has one team, and they're good.
The Jazz. This year they're good, but, I mean, think of all the years that they didn't win
with
Stockton and Malone.
They're always good.
But they never won it with Stockton and Malone.
True.
Yeah, never.
Cincinnati, that's 15.
Well, yeah, they lost their basketball team, and they got the Bengals.
The Bengals are.
Toronto is 14.
Well, the Argonauts won a Canadian Football League Cup. I don't know if people know that.
Tampa is 13.
All right, so there you got the
but who's what Tampa team is good? Well, the Lightning.
The Lightning.
The Lightning,
Cup.
Yeah, they won a
And the Bucks
Cup.
Won a Super Bowl in 02.
That's right. That
that's
was
true.
The one we
that's
forget
true.
About.
Forgot about that one.
Minneapolis is 12.
All right. You know, again, they
Jacksonville.
Have the Twins, number 11. Go ahead.
Jacksonville?
Jacksonville 11.
Well, again,
they got the Jaguars.
They're horrible.
That makes it worse. That's more
that's
miserable. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I understand that, but okay, go ahead.
Indianapolis 10, San Diego 9, Vancouver 8, Sacramento 7.
Yeah, I can see Sacramento.
Yes.
Philadelphia 6, and then we went with the top 5, which was Orlando, DC, St. Louis, Atlanta, and Buffalo.
Yeah, well, Buffalo is, and by the way, it puts like a darkness over the town when your teams constantly lose.
Right.
When you lost 4 Super Bowls like the Bills have, and you lost like the Sabres have, it puts a darkness over the city. It really does.
It doesn't help that it's, I don't know, Buffalo.
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, I lived there for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I felt like a rain cloud was over just my head. You know what I mean?
Today would be a sunny day to the people of Buffalo.
Yes, it'd be perfect out there. I feel bad for them. You know, we talked about how we wanted the Cubs to win for the Cub fans if your team's not in it. If I didn't have a team in it, geez, let the Bills win, or even more important, let the damn Sabres win, for crying out loud.
And how ridiculous is it that a large, beautiful metropolitan city like San Diego now has one sports team? One.
With the Padres.
Padres. That's it. That's all they've got.
Yeah, Chargers gone.
That's ridiculous.
And basketball gone. Yeah, they don't
have
basketball.
Great American city.
Yeah. All right, though, we'll come back last. Story standing, and we didn't get to the LeVar Ball thing, so we'll touch on that quickly. You don't like him, do you?
Oh, I can't stand
him. I love that guy. You're in the huddle with Rich and Artie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Come on, it's time to stop being fooled. It's time to ask yourself, why haven't I switched? Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Steven, time for one last piece of news.
I'm going to tell you an incredible story.
Wacky or insightful? Gone untouched throughout the entire show. Last story standing.
By the way, Rich, happy Pi Day. I don't know if I said that to you.
Yeah, and the wrong kind of pie.
Well, 3.14, but... Right. You have a favorite pie? Mine's pecan. I love pecan pie. I love that
chocolate
stuff.
Cream pie.
Oh, cherry.
Well, of course, cherry pie. Everybody loves that.
Yeah. I hate cherries, but I love cherry pie. Does that make any sense?
No, none whatsoever. Okay. Well, I don't like peanut butter and chocolate, but I'll eat a Reese's. So, yeah, imagine that. So, I'm serious. I don't like them together. But, yeah, pecan. So, happy Pie Day to everybody out there. One story we didn't get to, I brought up at the break, LeVar Ball. You hate that guy. I love that guy.
Stand him.
I wish my father, and I told you at the break, I said, I wish my father would have pushed me like that, like he does with his three kids.
Go in front of cameras and microphones and just hammer about your kids 24 hours a day.
I'm being 100% honest with you. I actually thought I was a better player in high school than Kerr. Now, could you imagine if I had a father? No, because Kerr only had one scholarship to Fullerton. Now, if I had a father that pushed me and said, my son's better than Michael Jordan. My son could beat whoever. My son, and pushed me and you know, got in front of cameras and got me recognition for colleges. Maybe.
Pathetic.
I'm not saying I'd make it in the NBA, but who knows? But who knows what my career would have been if I went out of Dallas?
I would have left home by 14. I just... Make it go away.
Brady, was your dad like that with the sports or no?
No. My dad, my dad cheered loud for me and things like that.
He didn't say it.
He was not a bad sports father.
No, but is that a bad sports father because he wants you to...
It depends on how the rest of your life is. I mean, the Ball children, they appear to love their dad.
Absolutely.
This doesn't appear to be, hey, you're putting too much pressure on me. I want
Marinovic.
We may think he's a blowhard, but they appear to have a very, very good family relationship. And if they're okay with it, then I'm okay with it.
That's fine.
I just pray the Celtics don't draft that kid.
You know, nobody really said anything about Venus and Serena's dad being overbearing. They did say that about Marv Marinovic, Todd Marinovic's dad. I mean, he was a bad dude.
I felt so bad for him, too, because as soon as he got to the NFL, he was just nothing. Well, and then he got into drugs.
What happened to him now?
He recently
was arrested walking naked somewhere
in
somebody's backyard or something.
Nice work.
That.
I'm sure his dad's real proud.
All right, Brady, short show. What's coming up on Champlain Valley game night?
I'm going to tell you about the signing the Patriots just made. It may not be a big signing, but I absolutely love it.
All right. We'll have, St. Mary's and New Orleans. That will start at 6:30. Kansas State, Wake Forest will follow that one. I'm like, oh boy, is it?
We ready? Ready to push everybody out of the parking lot?
Yeah, you're ready to get the car out. So for Rich, for Brady, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley game night next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
WCPV Essex Burlington Plattsburgh.
This is Ken Kreitz, the K Train. of RotoWire, and you are listening to the Home of the Huddle with Rich and Artie, 101.3 ESPN.
A lot of snow out there. Everybody be safe. You're listening to the show. We appreciate that as always, but do drive safe. Conditions continuing to deteriorate out there, and depending on where you are, it's definitely going to continue to get worse, it looks like, based on everything the weather reporters are telling us. The Patriots and Malcolm Butler could be moving closer to a divorce. Butler will meet with the New Orleans Saints tomorrow and will look to maybe get a deal done with New Orleans this week. But the Houston Texans also may have something to say about it and could be willing to surrender a draft pick to get Butler from the Patriots. Eddie Lacy has signed with the Seattle Seahawks. The Patriots have signed free agent running back Rex Burkhead. I'm going to tell you why in 1 minute, why that is a great move. The UVM men's basketball team safely lands in Milwaukee. They beat the snow out of Burlington last night, get to Milwaukee. They practice today at Marquette University, and the Cats, again, getting ready for their Thursday night matchup in the NCAA tournament with Purdue University. The Cats, the 13 seed, tip off to 727. We'll have pregame coverage for you at 7 on Thursday, and you can watch the game with us at McGillicuddy's in Colchester. We'll do the shows there that day and then stay for the game. David Price appears to be shut down. It appears like he will miss part of the beginning of the regular season. Nothing too serious for Price right now. It looks like he'll end up on the DL to start the season. Champlain Valley game night next, 101.3 ESPN.